Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Once again, we are joined by Rick Solis. Rick is a fellow investor and licensed appraiser. Rick, thanks again for joining us.
No problem.
Let's talk about the concept of market value.
Okay.
What is the definition of market value?
I think, you know, I haven't read that in a while, but it's in all our appraisal forms. It's what a ready, willing, and able buyer, knowledgeable buyer, is willing to pay a ready, willing, able, and knowledgeable seller.
Right, and neither one of them are more motivated than typical.
Yeah.
So you got everybody on an even footing. That's supposed to define a market value.
Yeah.
Okay. If a willing buyer offers to buy a property that's perfectly fixed and is willing to pay a $50,000 premium,
yeah,
does that price that buyer is willing to pay reflect true market value?
It does.
Are appraisers being allowed to appraise the property at that value?
The appraiser can appraise it at that value, but that doesn't mean the lender or the investor that's making the loan will accept it.
I think that's pretty interesting.
When
I look at an auction, and we've both been to auctions where you have 200 houses going today, none of those sales reflect market value. The inherent process doesn't allow market value to occur.
Yeah.
So no matter how, even Victorville, we just talked about in the last segment, 92% of sales were lender-owned properties where the lenders are under the gun, the properties are not fixed. None of those sales represents market value, but they represent all of the comps. This is almost like no time ever that I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, me either. Well, you know, I've only been at it 20 years, but it's crazy.
I noticed in the information that you had sent me, and there was some, you know, basically definitions in there, and one of them was, over and over again, they referred to something about a declining market,
yes,
or a soft market.
Now, that is different than last time.
Okay. Now we actually have instructions, though, as to if this property has this problem, what does it change? In other words, are there different rules for this market?
Well, in the last market, in the 90s market, there's like a little box on the appraisal where you check declining. And if you put declining, that was the kiss of death for the transaction in the last.
It was the kiss of death for the transaction?
Yeah. Oh, the deal was dead.
The deal was dead if you told the truth.
If they used your appraisal, what usually happened was that appraisal would go in the trash and they'd just pick up the phone and order the next appraisal. But, yeah, you could not put declining market on an appraisal in the 90s and get the transaction through with an FHA or conventional loan. This time is different. They're accepting that.
But when they accept it, are they also saying, okay, because this is a declining area, then we want to see these things?
They want more recent comparables, recent being, you know, 60 days or less, preferably 30. And they're very tight on the comps. I mean, the comparable sales have to be close proximity, very similar, very recent, which is difficult when sale activity is down, especially when you go to Victorville and 92% of them are REOs. I mean, where are you going to find those other 8% of regular sales? I mean, that's tough.
Yeah, it is. When on the bottom of the appraisal, it says that the stated value is as of a today's date. Is that still true?
Yeah, as of that date.
Okay. I'm just thinking, when you do an appraisal now and they're talking about this declining value area, are they actually asking you to appraise this property's value going forward? Is that?
No, they're asking you what it's worth today.
Okay.
And using, I guess they do want you to kind of look into or forecast where values are dropping. Are they still declining? Because that's that box on the front page. Are market values declining?
Right.
And they want to kind of forecast, I mean, they want a time adjustment in there, so they want you to adjust the sales you're using as comparables downward based on the amount of decline each month.
okay, that brings up a good point. How long are comps good for?
They used to be good for 6 months.
Right.
And appraisals used to be good for 6 months. So you could do an appraisal in June and have all your comparables from January, and that technically would have still been good up until, you know, December. With the declining market and the, you know, everyone, you know, the nervousness that's out there now, they've kind of changed that all around. Now they want the comparables to be, you know, 60 days or less from the day they fund the loan.
60 days or less from the day of funding.
Yeah, they want at least two, preferably three, that are 60 days or less.
So one of the keys is not to get your appraisal done too quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of times they're waiting until the last thing to look at the appraisal.
That's funny. Well, we know how long it's good for. How long would you say the appraisal is actually accurate?
Well, nowadays I'm thinking more like 2 weeks.
Exactly.
3 weeks. I mean, they're dropping pretty fast. Although you could kind of extrapolate. In my appraisals, I'll document, you know, what I think they're dropping at and make the time adjustments. And you could, assuming the market's going to stay the same as it has been for the last few months, you can kind of figure out that, yeah, they're dropping 2% a month. But that's pretty rough. I mean,
yeah, it is.
Every market's different.
You know, I would say up until 60 days ago, we were buying and selling properties, and we did not have a challenge on any appraisal. Maybe 75 days. I'll just go as far as out as I think is legit. And then in probably the last 60 days, every appraisal has had a struggle.
Wow.
So has there been a change in attitude of the lenders? Or just do you think?
I don't do as much of the retail stuff as I used to. I do, you know, a few. And I haven't had any problems on any of mine unless the appraisal. I had one where the appraisal was like 5 months old and they were still trying to get it done, and that was an issue. But I've noticed when it comes to lending guidelines, a lot of times they're pretty far behind the curve. So all the problems from 2007, I mean, their solutions are, you know, coming up now. So the problems you're having with appraisals, you might still have those when market value is still or starting to go up or flat. I mean, they might still be going under the guidelines of, hey, things are dropping pretty substantially, and they're, you know, putting the screws on.
Well, you know, we have one particular property that's sticking in our craw a little bit. We have a multiple offer situation when the property was presented to the market inside of, say, 4 days in this market. So
yeah,
to me, that establishes there's interest at that level of repaired property. So we go to escrow with a 160 price. The appraisal comes in at 155. The review appraisal comes in at 140.
Really?
Yes.
Was that the one I appraised?
Yeah. Oh, gee, sorry to tell you that.
That's okay. I think I remember telling you, hey, you guys are going to have problems.
Well, you're right. But there's a very big difference. You know, you have a customer, as a matter of fact, more than one customer saying 160 is the number and I want it.
Yeah.
And then you have an appraiser.
I think you're old. You guys started at 165, didn't you? And I was like, nah, I don't think you can hit it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. We had interested parties. And so what's interesting, Rick, about this is these lenders, let's say Fannie and Freddie have 50% of the loans.
Yeah.
Okay. If they do not allow market value to happen on current sales, what will they be doing trying to refi properties at these new numbers when virtually what percentage would have equity if they keep on saying no to market value, only to REO value?
Yeah.
They're going to foreclose on the entire Victorville area.
They probably will. And I don't think they don't look at stuff like that. I don't think they really care about, you know, the macro level. They just look at each individual transaction.
That's just amazing that somebody in charge hasn't really thought that. Well, actually, you know what? The new policy, I've really heard this in writing. I read it, that they're considering doing the refis without an appraisal.
They probably should. That would probably be a good idea. I mean, because the people are already in there, they may as well, I mean, which is almost just like a loan modification.
Yeah, if you give them a big enough loan, a low enough interest rate, maybe you can bear with owing $400 on a $200,000 house.
Yeah.
I just think that's a very odd way to solve a problem. But I think we're going to see a lot of odd things.
It seems like they're throwing every possible idea they can think of at this stuff, and nothing seems to be working yet.
You know, that's a great statement, and it's one of the things that concerns me, because just the fact that we're having to makes me think about the level of concern they have for the problem.
Absolutely. I'm reading a book on the Depression right now, and that's what they did back then. They just threw all kinds of weird stuff at the wall to see what would stick, and nothing did. It took a war.
Yeah. Well, that's, as you know, I've been doing a lot of study for this report that I've written. And so it's necessitated me looking at that time period and what we did. And there's a lot of policies that are being talked about right now that are very similar. You know, there's the steel union came up and they got in line for a bailout. And one of the things they suggested with the money that was coming forth from the new administration was that it have protectionist language in it to where the jobs stayed in the United States.
Oh, great.
It's not great because
that's what they did in 31.
Exactly.
It just sunk us.
Exactly right.
I think the Smoot-Hawley Act, yep, or something just killed us.
Yep, Smoot-Hawley or whatever. But yeah, it's amazing how much duplication there is. Getting back to the appraisal situation, when you have a difference in price, like we will have to every time we buy and sell a property, we're spending $35,000 on repairs and want a margin of net profit afterwards, there's going to be a margin that's naturally going to exist. Do before and after pictures make a big difference?
I think if that were my problem, if I had your problem at $140,000 deal, I think you got to just document the demand that you had. The multiple offer situation would help great if you could submit those. And I almost think I would take a video. I mean, if you videotape that house before and after and you went through and you just documented the whole thing,
mm-hmm,
I think that might do wonders for you. But if nothing else, then I would go with before and after pictures to some degree. If you get too crazy, they're going to want to see permits on everything, though.
Well, you know,
so like a cracked foundation or something, that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, no, we haven't really had to do any.
They might want to see if you're like ripping out kitchen cabinets. They might want to see permits on that.
Okay. You familiar with the term substitution in the appraisal world?
Yes.
Okay, so what does that mean to an appraiser? What does substitution mean?
Well, it means like you need to find a comparable or something with a similar amenity as yours.
Okay.
A buyer would be willing to buy, you know, house A for $150,000, and he'll look at the other house, which is identical to it, and pay it roughly the same amount.
Exactly. That's the principle of substitution. Basically, a buyer's not going to pay more for A when B is the same property.
Correct.
Okay. Now, does usually, in the appraisal world, I think that usually has to do with age and size. But this market, it has to do really with condition.
Yeah.
So you in Victorville, that's a perfect type of thing. You have 92% of the inventory going for whatever the number is, $80,000. And you have the one perfect house where you have a willing buyer at $140,000. And the reason, I think, is there's no substitute for that house.
That's true.
So you have a shortage of quality product in the midst of a glut of the bank-owned properties. And so that supply-demand, you have a shortage where there should be a normal amount. You don't have any competition because the people that have the nice houses owe too much. And on the stuff that's vacant and needs work, you've got a glut of it. So that spread has to be there. And I feel for the appraiser that comes in and understands all of this and puts it on paper and then gets penalized for it.
Yeah, you're doing your appraisal and you're kind of making a case for your opinion, but if there's not enough data to support what you come up with, it's tough. And it's hard to explain to a bank, or somebody sitting at a bank that they spent $50,000 rehabbing this house, and they just look at the comps, and all they do is look at a photograph of the other comparable, and they think, well, buyer got a loan on that; it couldn't have been too bad.
Okay.
And that's why in my appraisals, there's probably 15 to 21 pictures of the subject where you're only really required three, because I'm trying to show them that look, they've really fixed this up; it's in really good shape. And yeah, but you really don't know what that stuff costs if you're just sitting at a bank, processing a loan or underwriting a loan.
Well, I guess the truth is, in the residential world, does the cost approach even come into play?
No.
It really doesn't.
In fact, there was talk a few years back about not even having the cost approach in the appraisal forms. They kept it in, but it's really not really relevant.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, a builder right now, if he added up what his cost was, he could probably have $250 in a house in Victorville that's worth $100.
Yeah, cost and market value aren't the same thing. In fact, when it comes to like a pool or something, cost and market value are never the same.
Not definitely in this market. There was another term in the list that you gave me called arm's length transaction.
Yes.
I've got a specific question, but what does arm's length mean?
Arm's length means, going back to the market value, definition of market value, it was the ready, willing, and able seller selling to the ready, willing, and able buyer, and the buyer not being like his brother or something, and the seller's kicking back like $50,000 under the table.
Okay, I got you. Now, would this be a legitimate sale? And this is something that we're considering because, okay, we have willing buyers ready to buy a property, and the appraisal world doesn't want to cooperate. What if we carried paper on 5 transactions and created sale comps?
I think if those were listed in the MLS,
yeah.
So they showed up as bona fide sales through the MLS and also through title, then you would have comparables.
Would I have comparables for then my own new sale where a FHA lender would be looking at the appraisal of these properties and seeing that I was the seller of all of them?
that has been a problem in the past. They used to have they would call it the builder's sphere of influence. And they talked about that one on new housing tracts. You couldn't use all your comparables from that same tract. You had to get stuff from outside of that tract. And that might be the same issue with yours. Like you couldn't sell one of your houses and the appraiser used 3 other sales that you did and use those as all his comps. He'd have to find something else in addition to those.
Even if there was not a substitute type of quality product.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't want to be... And this is where we had that disagreement in your boot camp the first time. You don't want to be too much better than everybody else because there's no comparables to support that.
Yeah.
But you could use maybe 2 of yours and then a couple of those bank-owned REOs and then find some other investor somewhere within that, you know, similar market area. And it doesn't have to be within a mile. It can be, you know, all of South Marina Valley, really, that was also fixed up and sold at that.
We need to work as a team. All the investors that we know just work as a team. Everyone has to carry some sales once a month.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're doing the right idea by picking a city. I mean, Moreno Valley or Paris or Rialto or Fontana are much easier to do that. And then, like, Victorville, man, that's – or Adelanto, it's just impossible.
Yeah. Concessions. We touched on that. What percentage would you say of the sales that are closed now have incentives of some type?
I would bet if it's an FHA transaction, I would say almost 100% of the sales that occurred that were on the market for more than 2 weeks had sales concessions. That doesn't mean we can always find them. And if I can't find them in there, then I don't put them in there.
Right. You don't necessarily reflect the damage to the price if you can't find what it was?
Yes.
Okay. In Phoenix, the builders in 2006 and 2007 were paying realtors 18% commission to sell the property. Would that have been a concession?
Absolutely.
Okay. So you would have had a note that even though it was not necessarily a...
Disclosed?
Well, it's not necessarily a concession. How would you know that?
Well, on the MLS listings now, it'll say what the commission is, although we don't really take that into account. And I don't think, you know, there was no MLS for builder transactions, so they probably wouldn't find that.
When you,
I would think the lender making that loan wouldn't be excited about, they're making 18%.
Well, guess who probably was the lender?
Countrywide and IndyMac Bank.
The builders. Builders own lenders, too.
Wow.
Are there restrictions for appraising as far as the percentage of adjustments that you're allowed to have for the comps and the subject?
There's guidelines that you're not supposed to step outside of. If it's a very unusual circumstance, then you can, but you better be able to prove it. But if it's a conforming tract-built home in just a conforming tract-built neighborhood and there's tons of sales of similar properties, then you really never should step outside of those guidelines. And when you do step outside of those guidelines, it's a real problem for you.
When you say similar properties, you're talking just size and age again, though.
Correct.
So the condition really, what percentage are you allowed for condition?
If you adjust more than 10%, they call it like a line item adjustment.
Right.
So if you adjust more than 10% on any line, and the line goes back to that appraisal grid on the second page of the appraisal where you have the comparables on all the different amenities and you're making your adjustments. If you adjust more than 10% on any line, that's a problem. So on a $150,000 house, if you adjust $15,000 or more, that's an issue.
It's an issue that sometimes can be explained, but sometimes that explanation is not going to fly.
It can be explained very well if you have two or three comparables that have that same amenity and you don't make that adjustment. But if you just do that on all three or four or five or six of your comparables, then, yeah, that's a problem.
Okay. What happens if your appraisal gets reviewed and lowered? What happens to your relationship to the lender that asked you to do the appraisal? Is that now damaged in some way?
It's damaged, and if it's just a new client or somebody that just calls for once every 6 months, you probably won't hear from them again. And if you didn't get paid up front, you're definitely not getting paid.
You're not getting paid?
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Paying the appraisers. A very low priority in the transaction.
Wow.
But a lot of times when that appraisal gets cut, they will just take it to another, well, they used to. I don't think there's many wholesale lenders there used to be, but they could have just submitted it to another lender and, you know, got it through that way or requested another review appraisal. But if it's really a pushed appraisal, then, yeah, it's just dead and you're probably done with that lender.
Were review appraisals as common in 2005 and 2006 as at the top of the market?
I don't think they were when market values were increasing. I don't think they were as common. They could get by with just those automated valuation models. And when they were doing the review appraisals, I think they were a lot more lenient in an upward market. In a downward market, they just seemed to be just slamming everything.
When this review appraiser does what he does, is he getting out of a building and seeing a property, or is he doing it from even a remote location where he doesn't have a clue what the area looks like?
Well, the review appraiser, which, by the way, can be a woman.
Sorry.
Most times they don't go out there, and they just do what's called a desk review, where they're just pulling up the comparables off the computer and just going right off of that.
Are the review appraisers usually independent, or are they sometimes employees of the lender?
There's usually big companies out there that the lenders contract with. I think one of them is called LandSafe, and they have a bunch of appraisers that work for them and do all their reviews. So the lender will contact LandSafe and ask them to do a review appraisal. LandSafe will call one of their, not really their employees, but their subcontractors and have those appraisers do the reviews.
We got time for one more question in about 45 seconds. What changes would you implement to improve the appraisal business?
I think going back to not having the lender or the mortgage, the person that's getting compensated or not allowing them to order the appraisal would make a huge difference, improving the quality.
As far as the honesty that the appraiser felt comfortable saying?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Rick, thanks so much for joining us. It's been a great two sessions, and hopefully we've helped some people understand a little bit about the appraisal business. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.